I'm so happy to be here this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be among you. Because I've heard some of you guys' stories. I just want to say thank you so much. Just for the stories of what God has done in your life. I always want to hear about what happened in
Ditlabeng.
I remember the first time Dave and Cynthia came to Harding. We spent a long time hearing the story of what happened
here.
Of how God produced this work out of nothing.
And
whenever I hear Steve sharing about it, I feel like I can listen more. Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to thank Steve, Paul, and the guys he's working with for the team for an opportunity to share. I'm so happy to be among you. And we just want to thank God for how he's been working among us ever since we have arrived in Harding. Through the words that have been coming in to us. Amen.
Amen.
I got saved not many years ago. It wasn't my plan. I was just going to college to study. And I was moving away from home. I came from a strict family. And when I went away, I was excited. I thought I'm free to do whatever I want to do. Not many months when I arrived at college. God saved my life. I remember the following day when I had become a Christian. I had gone with some friends. And one of the ladies, we were going to class. And there were some guys we used to play soccer with at college. And she shouted and said, "Piwe has become saved." And in my heart, I thought, man, what's the big deal? Now, that's how I felt that time. But as time has gone by in my own life, I keep seeing the big deal of what happened that
day.
I remember what Charles Spurgeon said in his latter years of ministry. Talking about how he became a Christian. He said, "I looked and I never stopped looking." He was talking about how he became a believer. He said, "I looked to the Lord Jesus Christ and I have never stopped looking." He was saying this at his later age. I've been reading this book, the book of Ephesians lately. And it has been stirring my heart. Just seeing this man who was writing this letter, the depth he had about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember reading chapter 1 of Ephesians. I felt spiritually like I'm drowning with what he was saying. And if we have been noticing in our sessions that we've been having, the theme of unity has been coming out a lot. And God laid it in my heart as well. And so I just want to talk about preserving unity through a diverse church. Preserving unity through a diverse church. And so I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read from verses 1 to 8. Okay. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. According to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. And he gave gifts to men. In saying, he ascended. What does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower region, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every ways into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly,
makes the
body grow so that it builds itself up in
love. Now this
is a long
passage.
But I felt that we should read it just to get the context of what is
to be
honest with you, I didn't want to preach on this
passage. A while
back, Paul was asking me what I'll share on.
And I said,
hey, I'm not yet sure. I was thinking of Ephesians 4, but I'm not
sure.
I told Pastor Musala as well that it's not an easy passage to preach on.
And
so Paul writes these letters of Ephesians.
He's
writing to people who are very dear to him.
But
it seems when we read the whole letter that there were also new churches.
In the book of Acts chapter 19,
the book of Acts chapter
19,
the Bible, or in chapter 20, the Bible tells us that Paul spent 3 years in Ephesians. Ephesians was a big city. It was deep in a false worship. They worship a goddess called Artemis.
And
Paul comes in and meets with 12
men.
He asks them whether they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
And this
man said, we know nothing of what you are talking about.
And
the Bible tells us that Paul laid hands on them and the Spirit came upon
them. The
Bible tells us that he gathered those 12 men
and
started preaching and teaching to
them
concerning Jesus Christ. He was opening up scriptures
and
showing them Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world.
This
community was mixed up with Jews and
Greeks.
The Bible tells us that he labored in this community. Every day he will gather these folks and preach to them,
persuading
them that Jesus Christ is the
Savior.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It seems like in our times that we are not passionate about the gospel.
At least
when we are talking about the gospel, we are talking about different what the Bible teaches.
But when we
look at scriptures,
they
seem to be pointing us to Jesus Christ.
One
of my pastor normally says,
and
I like this quotation,
he says
the gospel is not the ABC of salvation.
It's the A to Z. What
he's meaning is saying that salvation or the gospel is not for bringing people to God.
Only.
It also what we live by.
And so
Paul speaks about unity in this passage.
When
I look at different passages that speaks about this church, Ephesians,
they
seem to be people who, whenever they did something, they did it with whole heart.
In the
book of Revelation, they are commended for
their deeds. One time
when the gospel had reached the place of Ephesians,
there's
a verse there that says the word of God spread. As Paul was preaching and teaching during the day, the word of God spread in
Ephesians.
And
And the Bible tells us that businesses were closed down. Businesses that were selling idols to people. Then there was a riot. People were protesting. Now in South Africa we protest for all kinds of things. In Ephesians they were protesting about this gospel. That this gospel has come to this place. And it has turned our city upside down. And so Paul comes to chapter 4. From chapters 1 to chapter 3 is not instructing us. From chapters 1 to chapters 3, Paul is not instructing us. He's telling us what Christ did for us. And what has that done to us? And he gives us, in a way, two perspectives. First, he shows us that this gospel was in God's heart before he made anything. And it manifested as Christ came. And then he tells us how that has worked out among different groups of people. In chapters 4, he says, on the basis of what I've been saying to you, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. He mentions different kind of qualities, how we ought to do that. Or he shares to us a kind of an attitude we ought to walk. But he largely dwells on unity. He does not tell us to create unity. He tells us to maintain unity. A group of us were in Steve's farm last week. And I was listening to Gary just say something about this passage. He was just telling us that that word maintain has a tone of fighting for in Greek. God is not saying create unity. He's saying maintain it. It is there. And so, as we're going to be looking at preserving unity in through a diverse church, I want us to look at diversity in a context of gifting. Not of culture. Sometimes we get divided because of different kinds of gifts in our midst. Sometimes we get divided as a church because of different kinds of gifts in our midst. And we see this in Corinthians. When Paul was writing to the church, he's saying, I've heard about you. Some of you are saying, I'm following Peter. Some of you are saying, I'm following Paul. Some of you are saying, I'm following Apollos. And some of you are saying, I'm following Christ. One of my lecturers said at that point, he said, it is normally those who are saying, I'm following Christ, who cause a lot of problems. Because they are saying, no, we are not like that, those other guys. We are following Christ. So Paul asks them, is Christ divided? Did Paul die for you? Did Paul die for you? And sometimes we can be divided because of different kind of ministries. And Paul writes about diversity in this context of unity.
A
friend of mine told me a story. Now, if you spend a lot of time with me, you will know that I talk a lot about Nicholas Bengu.
I
love him. He was a great man of God in South Africa. God used him mightily. He was going to overseas one time. And he left a certain pastor in the church that he was overseeing. When he came back, the church were no more listening to this old man, Bengu. They were wanting to follow this young man.
Who was leading him.
And Bengu heard about this. This guy tells me that Bengu gathered the whole church. And he said, those who want to follow this man, follow him. Those who want to follow Bengu, follow him. But those who want to follow Christ, follow Christ. And this gave the church perspective. That brothers, we are following Jesus Christ. Let us not be divided over men who are gifted in a certain way. We are following Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our commander. You remember in the book of Joshua, when they were about to go for a battle, and he sees this angel with a sword. And Joshua says, are you for us or against us? And this commander says, no, I'm the commander of this army. God is the owner of his church. He is the commander of this army. And we see that in the first 6 verses of this passage. He talks about unity. But he goes on to show us that unity does not mean that there should be not diversity among us. We are diverse people. One of my elders preached about diversity. And he said, God loves diversity. Diversity and unity. Somebody said that the body, he said unity is something, unity is not something mechanical. It does not mean sameness. We don't have to be all the same to express unity. And we see this in the illustration that Paul makes a lot. When he talks about the body, he says, you are the body of Christ, one body. You are the body of Christ. But there are many members in this body. Not all of us are eyes. Not all of us are ears. Not all of us are hands. We are different parts of God in God's body. And Paul says that God gave each of us grace. I don't think he's talking about salvation there. I think he's talking about ability. God has given each of us ability. And it is him who has measured that ability. This will help us to be secured. Not to want to be like another person. God has given each of us. And we see this in the story of the talents. It's not the people who chose for themselves what they want. It is God who gave them. He gave them some 5 talent. And he gave another 2. And he gave another 1. They did not decide for themselves. It was God who gave them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible goes on to tell us that as Jesus ascended, he was the one who gave gifts. He gave gifts to the church. He was the one. Now, there's something that I noticed as I was reading this passage. As Paul finished to tell us that God has given us grace, he takes time there in verses 9, where he says, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower region, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended above all the heavens, that he might fill all the things. Now, reading that part, Paul takes time to say that. He says this in the midst of talking about gifts. Now, one thing you will notice about the Bible, whatever they are asking us to do, they join that with what Christ did for us. They don't just tell you to do something abstract from what Christ did for you. And Paul takes time to tell us what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He said the one who ascended is the one who descended to the earth. The Bible tells us in the book of John, though he was God, he took on the form of man, or in the book of Philippians, he humbled himself into this earth. Christ must be the center of what we do. Whether it's relationships or we're using our gifts, Christ should be the center. And Paul takes time to tell us about this Jesus. Somebody said we can look at things in different ways. But when it comes to Christ, let's look at him in one way. And he tells us that this Jesus descended. He's the one who ascended. Now, in ancient time, there was a picture of this. Kingdoms will fight each other. And the kingdom that wins will come with the prince or king of that kingdom that has lost. And they will be held with chains following the kingdom that has won, or following the army that had won. And this gives us a picture of what Christ came to do on earth. He came to conquer the enemies of the earth. Now, I have some heroes of freedom fighters.
There
are men that I adore who have stood for us that we may experience some of the things we are experiencing now. But most of these guys help us socially. But Christ seems to have conquered the great enemies of this earth. It was Christ who defeated Satan. It was Christ. It was Christ who defeated sin. He came to abolish the works of the devil. I can imagine a time where all these enemies will be following after Christ. For Jesus has conquered these enemies. The second thing we see in this passage, that he gave different gifts. Not all are apostles. Not all are miracle workers. Not all are teachers. He gave these gifts. I believe that when Paul is talking here, he's talking about men who are gifted in a certain way. Some of them were apostles. Some of them were prophets. Some of them were evangelists. And teachers and pastors. And I want to say, let us embrace all these gifts. Let us not divide over these gifts. Paul says all these things are given to you. They come from God. He gave you these gifts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us embrace these gifts. Let us not downplay their role. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second thing we see in this passage is the purpose. They had one purpose. Though it was different gifts, they shared one purpose to equip the saints to build the church of God. To build the church of God. Now, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, we should learn, people of God. We must learn to hold scripture in tension. We must not go on one extreme. When Jesus was saying he's going to build his church, he was not pushing aside that he was going to use men. And we see this in this passage, that these gifts are not given for themselves. They are given so they can equip the church of God. And they do not appoint themselves. It is Christ who gives these gifts. They do not manufacture these things. It is Christ who gives these gifts. I don't know whether they grow. I don't know the process. But it is Christ who gives us these gifts. And I want to say, let us embrace them. We can't do it. The church cannot do it. It can recognize these gifts. It cannot make these gifts. It can recognize it. And they were given to equip the church. That the church may not be tossed to and fro by all manner of doctrine. When I was reading this passage, I saw three things that the church must be equipped and trained in. They must be trained in their doctrine. They must be trained in the teaching of the word of God. The second thing, they must be trained practically. The church must be trained how to serve God. The third thing, they must be trained relationally. This church was formed of people who were coming from different backgrounds. And they needed to be trained in these three areas. It wasn't a mistake in Acts chapter
2.
When Luke says that they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. It is the first thing that is mentioned. Not prayer. Prayer is important. But it wasn't the first thing that was mentioned there. After those saints have become Christian and given their lives, they devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. We need to be taught doctrinally, people of God. And people who have this task among us. Must do it with patience. We should not always expect that everything will happen automatically. There are things in my life when I became a Christian that God delivered me from instantly. But there are things that I needed to be taught about. Discipleship is a process. Growing people is a process. So the church must be trained doctrinally. It must be trained practically. How they serve God, they must be trained. Now somebody can be saved and do exploits for God. And we praise God for that. But the general rule is that church needs to be trained. And the way, when we look at the Bible, the way they did it, they were not standing and telling and teaching people. That was one of the ways. What they would do, they will take the person. We see this in a large way between Timothy and
Paul.
He will take him when he is going to minister. And Timothy will be watching how Paul does this. And when Paul is about to leave him in the church of Ephesians, he says, what you have seen me do, of what you have heard me teach in public and in house to house, and trust there to reliable men. Timothy was not just equipped mentally. He was also equipped in experience. He had been going with Paul in his mission trips. And so, The third thing is that we need to be trained relationally. Now, people of God, this is important for us. We are a mixed group here. We come from different backgrounds. We have different mindsets. We need to be trained relationally. To forgive ourselves and be patient with one another. The last thing we see there.
Yes.
The whole church was involved. This woman that Christ gave to train the church.
They were training
the church. That the church may come to a state where they can build one another. When I was reading this passage of the book of Ephesians, I noticed that Paul speaks a lot about love and truth. The whole church was built
or
was involved. And Paul talks a lot about love and truth. These are qualities that we're going to have to develop in our midst. Love and truth. Now, some of us says we don't mind being confronted. We encourage people to confront us. But I tell you, if then it's done to you, for a long period of time, you will not like it. Because confrontation should go with love. It shouldn't be love alone. It shouldn't be truth alone. They must go hand in hand. So, sometimes people say the church, instead of building one another, they destroy one another. Because of how we talk with each other. Our speech is not seasoned with grace as the Bible talks. If we would want to build one another, the whole church is involved. Love and truth will be some of the marks that we'll have to display to one another. Every member of the church was involved. Recently, I was on Facebook. And I saw a certain clip. I saw a pastor walking on top of his members. He was coming to the stage to preach. And his members were lying on the floor. And he was walking on top of them. Because he said that he was divine. He didn't want to make himself unclean. And a while back, I was watching TBN as well. I must read the Bible rather. I heard somebody saying, now, there are people that I listen to TBN that enriched me. I learned from them. But not everything. There are things that we need to be careful about. And one of the preacher was saying there, that God cannot engage with a believer except coming through him.
You are saying
that you will not receive your blessings unless God talks to me or give them to me, or you come to
me.
Now, I don't know about you, but this gives us a certain picture. This was what Martin Luther fought against.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because he used to go to the priest in order to engage with God. And when he saw this, he read this passage. I'll read it for you. It was 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also,
Lelona,
like living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Martin Luther used to call this the priesthood of all believers. The whole church needs to be involved. Not only these gifts that God has given us. The church. The priesthood of all believers. And Martin Luther will speak for this. That there is one mediator between man and God. There is one mediator between man and God. And that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there are believers who do not believe in leadership. There are believers who do not believe in church leadership. I'm not teaching that. We should acknowledge leadership among us. God gives us
leadership.
But we should also equip the church. That every member is involved. And God said to Moses, as he was sending him to go release the people of Israel, he said, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may worship me. And I believe God wants to say that to some of us who've been putting down the church. Let the people go. That they may worship God. With all that God is calling them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let the people of God serve him. We see three things in this passage. That God gives us gifts. And we should embrace them. The second thing, we see the purpose of these gifts. It's not for them or for themselves. To be served. It's not, brothers and sisters. It's not. Christ did not come to do that. He gave this gift to equip the church. And we must be clear what they are equipping them for. That they may be in the statue of Christ. That they may reflect the stature of Christ. And I'm saying as we do this, or those among us are called for this, let's do it with patience with people. That thing, we should acknowledge that the church should be involved. I like what Raylo calls it. The functioning body. It's not one member in the body functioning. All the members are functioning. Let us fight for this. Let us fight for this unity. Even though we are diverse. Let's don't divide over these gifts. I don't think Paul was talking about learning from somebody who has the same gift that you have. I think what he was saying, yeah, doing that at the cost of rejecting the other gifts. Where you are saying, I'm just of Paul. I'm not concerned about that. I'm just of Cephas. I'm not concerned about
that.
All things have been given to us. Let's stand up, brothers and sisters. I felt God lay in my heart to pray for a particular group before we pray generally. For a particular group. Not necessarily people who don't know what they are gifted in. But people who have misplaced themselves. So God has gifted them in a certain way. But they reject that and want to be something else. And these things happen because of what we see in TV. We want to follow a certain figure who's popular at that time. But God wants to help us. Some of us have misplaced ourselves. We have rejected what God has gifted us in. And have followed a popular gift. I saw this when the prophetic gift was just operating in an amazing way. I saw this. Many of us wanted to be prophets. I saw this in the gift of evangelists as well. Many of us, because a certain individual, many of us wanted to be that. But God wants you to embrace what He has gifted you to be. He wants you to be secured in what He has gifted you to be. Even if it's not popular. I want to pray for that group of people. Now, if you don't know what I'm saying, or if it never happened to you, you will not know this. The people who will know this is who do this thing I'm saying, who do it. Because it happens in our heart. They will know that I have rejected what God has called me for. I have followed a popular gift. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. That God will secure you in what He has gifted you in. Amen.
Amen.
We want to pray for those people. Whilst He leads us in a song.
Nagonyo bazonza retella pelika kapina kumamelo retaita seu. Hare fiteng retora pelanga mo.
Umbazo lead us in a song. Can you please come forward?
Fetela kapina.
That group of people are saying.
But one when in kibua kabon.
You know that I rejected what God called me to.
Uatiba mudimu na ufile neo yena. Yaba wena uga kiba ati kiba tayena.
I followed what is popular. Come forward, we'll pray for you. In Jesus' name.